You'll have to pardon me tonight. I'm having a little trouble with my eyes. I don't know what it is. I think it's maybe an allergy that's sort of gotten in them. And so I've had to get my glasses out to read a little bit tonight. So I feel a little awkward going back and forth, but that's just the way it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with us tonight as we get into the Word of God. May you encourage us to understand the very core issue that we're going to talk about tonight and how important and essential it is. And Father, I need your help to make that clear and to help us guard this area and to make sure that it's handled in a way that keeps us online for you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. David, King David, was a man after God's own heart. Now, we can't picture God being a spirit that he actually has this heart, but God has a heart. And that's a personification, something we could identify with. It's the very center of who God is and the way he feels and all the rest. And God refers to our heart. He's not talking so much about this piece of meat that's in our muscle, that's in our breast. He's talking about the center of who we are and our commitment. Matter of fact, in scriptures, sometimes it talks about loving God with your kidneys. That's sort of an interesting thing, isn't it? But tonight we want to talk about the heart. We sing songs, Lord, give me a servant heart. God sees the heart. All kinds of verses like this. But tonight, look, if you will, in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. You know, the Lord talks about our heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We talk about a child's heart can be stolen. I warn in my home builder's class, be careful that somebody doesn't steal your child's heart. One wrong friend, one person that disciples them in a way after a doctrine that you don't want them, or some philosophy, they steal their heart or their soul, their mind, as it were. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Turn to me, with me please, to Jeremiah chapter 17. We'll look at a couple of verses over in Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah 17 verse 10, it says this, the Lord searcheth the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So here, the Bible says that God tries, or God judges, or God evaluates the heart. And then he says, even the reins, that would be the very who is ruling your heart, the very center of you. So God evaluates, or here it says that God searches the heart. We sing a song, it's actually one of my favorites, so we don't sing it as much anymore. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there be any wicked way in me. So God searches the heart. And you know, if God searches, it's a pure search, isn't it? It's a real search. And if you notice in that verse, it says, God searches the heart with a purpose, even to give every man according to his ways. God says that we may struggle along in life. We may not always accomplish. You know, King David was called a man after God's own heart, and he wasn't perfect. He made some pretty big boners in his life. But when given a choice, and he was thinking about it, and the purpose, he always chose God. God says, I search your heart. What's the bottom line of who you are? That's your heart. Who are you, really? Dr. Bob Senior says the test of your character, one of them is what you do when nobody's around and you think nobody will know. That's who you really are. That's your heart. If you gave your heart free course to go where it wanted to go, where would you go? What would you be? God searches that heart. And he rewards it accordingly. He rewards that heart. So tonight we want to talk about some things that are important for us in our heart. Right where we are in Jeremiah chapter 17, let's look at verse 9 now. We looked at verse 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is the unconverted heart, isn't it? So the very first thing that you and I have to make sure that we have happen in our life is there needs to be a conversion or a change in that heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Could you turn over there for a moment, please? We're going to look at several scriptures, so go with me, please. And if when we turn to verses, I don't know if you do this or not, but a lot of times when a pastor or a person I'm following is on a theme like this, I'll write like next to that verse, your heart, or whatever he's talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want you to look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, number one, there's this unconverted heart that needs to be made new. You don't think like you used to think. You've got a new reign. You have a new direction in your life. Things that you didn't desire before, now you desire. You're hungry for God. You're hungry for His Word. When He reproves you, you say, thank you, Lord, I needed that. Sometimes people leave a church service and they'll say, Pastor, thank you for stepping on my toes today. Well, you know, the unsaved person doesn't thank me on the way out the door. Matter of fact, they get pretty upset and say, did somebody tell them about my sin? I'm never going back again. All they did is point at me the whole time they were preaching and pound on that pulpit because their heart is unconverted and doesn't appreciate it. But the converted heart wants God to be a part of it. Has your heart been converted? Does it want God? Does it hunger? The psalmist said, my heart pants after God like the deer panteth after the water. So my heart panteth after God. This is that converted heart that has a new center, a new goal. Old things are passed away. That unconverted Jeremiah 17:9 heart that's desperately wicked, who can know it, is being passed away. It's being changed. And now the bottom line of my heart is new. It's different. And it's interesting when somebody gets saved how the old things just begin to pass away. And it's not because the preacher's coming or somebody's giving them a list of do's and don'ts. They just now want to desire God. There's a new converted heart. Turn over to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Verse 8. Well, here's David, I want to try Daniel. Here's Daniel as a young man. There's nobody with him. His mom and dad are gone. His country has been put up in ruins. He's with a group of other boys. And the easiest thing to live and survive is to go along to get along. But we know what he does. Would you read out loud with me Daniel 1:8? Or probably you can quote it. You've heard it enough times. Daniel 1:8. Here we go. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine wherewith he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Here we see a thing that the second thing is, first, it was a new converted heart. Number two, here you see a committed, yielded heart. He purposed in his heart. He yielded to God. God, I'm in this hard situation, but Lord, I want you more than I want worldly success or even life itself. I just want your will in my life. I want to live for you. And if I can't live for you, I really would rather just not do anything. a very deep commitment in his heart. I have all kinds of messages, and you've heard messages on how deep is your commitment. How committed is your heart? Sometimes in a relationship between a young man and a young girl, they're struggling over their relationship. And sometimes they get very jealous of each other. And you end up counseling or saying some words to them, and the other person's trying to possess them and hold them. And maybe you've given this advice. If you can't turn around and let go of them, then you just don't have their heart. If you have their heart, they're like a bird. They can fly out from the cage, but they're going to come right back because that's where they want to live. If a guy can't trust a girl, or a girl can't trust a guy to walk around the corner without following him, there's something wrong with that heart relationship on a human level. Daniel was not in his hometown. He was not where anybody would criticize him. But his heart was committed to God for real. What do you like when you're at work or school or nobody would know? How deep is your commitment? How real is it? How, a word that was real popular a few years ago, how authentic is your commitment? Are you mimicking what everybody else says because that's what's acceptable at a church and a Christian family or a youth group or other men or whatever you want? How deep is your commitment? So we see a converted heart, and then we see a committed heart. That's really meaning business with God. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. This verse at the end of the chapter, verse 32, actually follows people that are having some trouble with arguing and biting and all kinds of stuff. If you look at verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." But here we go. Here's the heart verse, verse 32. "But be ye kind one to another." What's the word? Tenderhearted. But you put in contrast verse 31 and 32. 31 is hard. It's gotten hurt. It's calloused. It's angry. It's full of vitriol, bitterness, anger. And the call from God for us as Christians is to keep our heart tender. The word I put down here is soft. No calluses. An uncalloused heart. Do you have some hardness that's come across your heart? There are a lot of reasons for hardness to come. Hardness of the way you've been treated by somebody's hardened you up. Some bitterness has come in and made you angry. Life hasn't been fair. Be kind one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. If there's an area that will destroy the Christian, and I tell you, I do a lot of talking over the last 40 years to Christians. It's this area, personal relationships. And we get twisted with somebody, and it hardens our heart. And to pull down those calluses, and to let yourself be vulnerable and to love. Be tender-hearted, soft-hearted, for easy to be entreated, not vengeful, not spiteful, not angry, a tender, soft heart. God can touch your heart just as easy as can be. You know, you look at King David. From what I read about King David, David was a man's man. He had his mighty men that he would go and fight with. I mean, he would go right into battle, and you weren't going to see him back down one little bit. And yet, he could write the Psalms and sing with the harp and have a tender heart beyond anybody else. Very tender-hearted man. See, to be tender-hearted doesn't mean that we're not strong. It means we have the heart of God. God is tender to us. Seems like recently I've heard the same verse quoted several times. God's mercies are new every morning. Boy, God could harden his heart toward us, couldn't he? Boy, we provoke him all the time. But God is very soft-hearted. And being soft-hearted is a choice to be like God's heart. What's God's love like? It's unconditional. Whether it's ever returned or not, it's going to come our way. God loves us. God is very soft-hearted toward us. I was reading recently in one of the Psalms, and it talked about how strong God was and to be feared and awesome and high and lifted up and holy. And right in the middle of those verses it says, "And I know in the mountain of thy holiness thy tender heart." Boy, that's what makes God so special to us, doesn't it? 1 John chapter 4, God is love. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. Staying soft and tender. So my question would ask you tonight, do you have some calluses on your heart that need to be removed? Do you need to pull down some calluses? Make your heart vulnerable. Be tender-hearted. The problem in Ephesians was they were being bitter and angry and all these other kind of stuff. And the command was, but be ye tender-hearted. It's a choice to be tender-hearted. Turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Here we find the blesseds from the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, then right in the middle of the blessed, we find a blessed heart, don't we? Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure. Pure in heart, for they shall see God. Boy, a pure heart. God wants us to have that pure heart. Pure motives. Pure from sin. David, we're sort of talking about David because here's David that we already said he's the man after God's own heart. But there was a period of time where David calloused his heart, and David's heart was not pure because of sin. And let's just go over and look at Psalm 51 where he's now confessing what that impure heart felt like. Would you go over to Psalm 51 for a moment, please? Verse 6, behold, or in Psalm 51, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast spoken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. David was very aware of his dirty heart, and he was tired of it. You ever get tired of the sin in your heart? You ever get tired of that besetting sin that's parked its way in your life? David said, make me to hear the joy again. And would you purge me? So, Lord, help me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. David's spirit was burdened by this dirty heart. Cast me not away from thy presence. He felt that heart that was always so one with God. That heart yearned for that relationship that he used to have so completely. And his heart missed it. Restore to me, renew to me that right spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. There's a lot, that's a whole sermon in itself, isn't it? But we see David missed his pure heart. And when confronted and finally God sent the prophet and David had the right response to it, out came this, Lord, I've missed you, and my joy and the burden and the separation, and I felt the uncleanness, and Lord, I just want my heart to be back with you. Have you ever been there? A pure heart. Another reference I wrote down here is James chapter 4, verse 8. Purify your heart. And that has, purify means we just need to get it cleaned up. So when we talk about this idea of a pure heart, if you notice, we're getting the C in here, the uncalloused heart. Now we're talking about we want to get this pure heart. We want our heart to be clean. Make me clean. Isn't it good to feel clean? You know, I like to go out and jog. I can't jog so much, but I can run and exercise. And I like to go out and work in my yard and work around the roses and dig and stuff like that. But you sure get stinky. I can remember years ago, my daughter Christy was still home, and we were living still in Spring Branch. And I'd get sweat. I mean, I just perspire. I would, every part of me be wet and perspiring, you know, sweat, stink. And I'd come in, my daughter Christy, I'd always say, come here, sweetheart, I love you so much. And she'd say, oh, get away from me. And she'd run, and I'd chase her. And sometimes I'd just get her and hug her, you know, just get her all sweaty. And she'd say, stop it, you're right. I don't want to be stinking. I have to change my clothes. I remember one time when I was a boy, I was in kindergarten. It was early in the morning. I was waiting for the bus to come. And you know what it's like, some of you that are more up north, and it's just a cold day, and all the mud puddles have frozen over with a pane of ice. But it's not all the way frozen. There's still water underneath. So I had discovered that pane. It was fun. Smack, 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 smack. I don't know why my mom had put on a white sailor uniform that day for me. And I went out and smack, 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 smack. I looked down, and I mean all the way up, right up to my hips almost. It was just splashed with mud. And about that time, my mom looked out, and she called me and said, you can't go to school like that. And I remember going to the house, and she just really let me have it, and I was crying. I tried to give my mom a hug, and she put her hand on my head and held me a distance away. That doesn't feel good with God, does it? But why is it we won't change our clothes? Why is it we don't go and take a shower? Why is it that we don't get our heart clean with God? And perhaps there's someone here tonight, you talk about this heart after God's own heart, you need to purify your heart tonight about something. Nobody else may even know about it. I wonder how many people suspected King David was as miserable as he was. But he sure was. He just needed to get his heart clean. So we need to have a clean heart with God. Turn over, if you will, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. And so here we find, thy word have I hid in my heart. Here, the word of God is taking in the word of God. The heart is taking in the word of God. And I, just to keep it C's, this is a committed whole heart. It's full. It's full of the word of God. It's committed to studying the Word of God. You want your heart to be strong? Give it some heart food. What's heart food? The Bible. Feed your heart. Boy, it sounds like I'm some sort of an internet commercial. We're going to give you superfood. and antioxidants and all the other kind of stuff. It's right here in your hand. Are you feeding your heart? This is how you feed it. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart. So he went to the word of God and he strengthened his heart. You know, there's no shortcut to this. I've gone through some health problems and, you know, there were some things I needed to do and things to help my heart. Do you realize 4 years ago I had a heart catheterization? When they were first, I started to have the first exhibits of my proximal neuropathy. They weren't sure what it was, but I was having a lot of problems with irregular heartbeats. But they put me in the hospital. They put me through a heart catheterization. They said, you're having some problems, and they wanted to examine inside my heart. And after that, there were things I needed to do. I needed to work on things that related to your cholesterol and your exercise and your heart muscle and all that kind of stuff. And it's really helped me. I needed to concentrate on my heart health. Can I ask you, how's your heart health? Well, I can tell you, here's the food. Do you need a heart catheterization today? God, go in there and just look at the strength of the muscle of your heart. See what it's like. And I don't know, well, I do know. When you get in the Word of God, God has a way of just searching your heart, and he just takes the Word of God and plugs in all the vitamins and all the antioxidants and everything your heart needs. And he strengthens that heart. Makes it strong. So here we have a very strong heart, a heart that is committed and yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Two more things we would look at tonight. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. So Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart, what's that next word? Discern. Discerneth both time and judgment. There's several other verses. If you want to write in your notes, some of you take notes, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9 and 12. It talks about Solomon. And Solomon could have had riches and all the rest, but what did he ask for? If you go and read those verses, give me an understanding heart. Discerning heart. God, give me a heart that discerns between right and wrong. We need to have a heart that's wise. And it does what's right. And it discerns what pleases God, not self. And so this heart would be a consecrated heart, wouldn't it? A heart that's consecrated under the will of God. I want to discern God's will in everything. What does God want me to do? The bottom line of my heart is I just want God's will in my life. Oh, we're so strong-willed. And yet, I think maybe it's because I'm getting older. The verses that say your life is but a vapor, and it goes away. And here you've lived your life for a vapor when you're going to live with God for eternity. So today, we just need to ask God to give us that consecration wisdom to do what he wants us to do. Turn with me, please, if you will, to one last verse, Philippians chapter 4. I'm trying to cut through some of these verses. Our time flies. Philippians chapter 4. This one doesn't have a C. It has a C sound. Philippians chapter 4, look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart. A kept heart. A kept heart. Keep your heart with all wisdom. Keep your heart. A kept heart. That's just daily coming to God and letting Him cleanse it. May God help us have a kept heart. If you look in the context of verse 6 and 7, we already talked about what's the food for the heart, but what's going to keep the heart? In these verses, it's prayer. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart. You want to keep your heart from being just full of care all the time? Just keep it in God's hands. Are you worried about something tonight? I just read an article last week. I get these health articles now all the time. And it talked about the number one thing that hurts the heart is stress. We talk about all these chemicals and all the other things that we have. It's stress. And it talked about how you need to learn. Of course, they were talking about now you need to do yoga. You know, all that kind of stuff. I have Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Let God keep your heart. Let Him take care of all the cares. I know better, but I've tried to keep that in my own heart until it drives it nuts. And I worry. I'm going to raise your hand on that. And I fret, and I think, and I cogitate on it. And I can't do a single thing about it. And I should have just handed it over to God a long time ago. My heart would have been very peaceful. God wants to keep your heart for you. You can't, but He can. Give your heart over to God instead of worry. I thought these were very encouraging things. You know, there's a lot of verses about what can be a disaster to the heart. There's a slow heart. There's troubled hearts. There's hardened hearts. All kinds of things that make our heart have troubles. But if we'll do these seven things that I talk about, do you have that new heart? Do you have a committed heart? Have you really given your heart to the Lord? Have you really yielded it over to Him? Are you keeping your heart tender? Removing the calluses? Is your heart pure? Is it clean? Is your heart committed fully to God, exercised in Him? Is your heart ready to discern? And then are you letting God keep your heart? And are you feeding your heart in the Word of God? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. A Christian that loses heart is just pretty much worthless. No strength, no purpose. It just, Satan blows you around. You've got to have a heart that's for God. When I was in college, I grew up with a man that lived nearby. His name was Rodney Sinsky. Rodney Sinsky was in World War II. World War II, he was captured and put in one of the Nazi prison camps. And in those prison camps, he fortunately was there for just a little while, but he said it just was amazing to him to see these people. They were like skin and bone. And he said it made him, this big old strong Polish guy, he said it made him weep to see these people that were so totally wiped out. He said, may I never be that way. And when I saw Rodney Sinsky, he was a strong, strapping guy. And I can remember we'd be on doing things around the farm. He'd come and hire on for my dad. he could take his hands, sometimes where you couldn't get in with a pipe wrench, he could get his fingers in there and he could twist things. You could use a wrench to get back. And he was the strongest guy I'd ever seen in my life. When I came out of college one day, I'd heard that Rodney had been in the hospital and he'd had a heart attack. But I looked out the window of the barn and I saw Rodney's truck pull up and I said, "Oh, Dad, I think Rodney Sinsky's here." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "You'll be surprised when he walks in." He walked in the milk house down the stairs. It took him a lot longer than it normally would take. And he turned to come down the main floor of the barn. And he shuffled like this with his arms and down like this. And he said, "Hello, Rich, how are you doing?" I said, "Dad, what?" He said, "He had a heart attack and it didn't surprise me. 6 months later, he's dead." His heart. You know, where do you think Satan wants to destroy? Keep it clean. Keep it committed. Keep it fed. Let God keep it. Don't worry. For out of it are the issues of life. A church full of people with the right heart, Satan's afraid of. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be honest with you in our own heart situation. If there's some things that we need to just address, whether it's feeding our heart or cleaning our heart or committing our heart or pulling a callus down tonight, may you help us to realize it's a huge issue in relationship to the strength of our Christian life. With our heads still bowed, before I finish praying, I wonder if there's somebody here and you say, "Pastor, tonight the Lord has just reminded me there's some heart work to be done in my life. Pray that I'll go after it. Pray for me." Is there someone like that tonight? Lord, help us to do it. You've seen the numbers of hands that have gone up tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word that pokes and diagnoses and calls us to yourself. In Jesus' name.